My dear friends, we have a very special day today, as you've already realized. This is what we call an Ember Day. I'm going to read from Dom Prosper Garanger a little later on what the meaning of the Ember Days are. And we know from our many readings on Sundays from the liturgical year that Dom Prosper Garanger is one of the premier writers of the liturgy of the Mass. And he gives us a beautiful explanation. The only thing I'm going to do is just make a little comment, according to St. Gregory, Pope St. Gregory, on the particular gospel that we have. It's in a spiritual sense, it's an allegory. An allegory has where the various objects represent other things. And the fig tree, of course, represents man. Man who's supposed to bear fruit, but because of sin, he does not bear any fruit. And the Master God comes looking each year, looking for fruit. And all during those years, he comes reminding the fig tree, as it were, the man, through his commandments and his prophets, that he must repent and do good and bear fruit. But of course, he doesn't. And with the objections of his vine dresser, he lets it go one more year, but still thereafter there's no fruit. And the woman also represents our fallen human nature that cannot stand erect. She is all bent over, that she cannot even look up because of the oppression of sin. But Jesus comes to her and cures her, touches her, and she can stand up straight. And this is what the Lord does to us. Because of our sins, which have bent us over so much so that we cannot even look up to heaven, as it were, he cures us of our sins and forgives us of our sins. So this is a very beautiful gospel about the various things that happen to us in our lifetime with sin and, of course, forgiveness of sins. And this is what Dom Prosper Garanger is going to talk about with the Ember Days. They are days of special days of prayer and fasting and thanksgiving for the harvest that the Lord is giving the Jewish people. And this is what we're in. We don't always experience this now because we're not so agricultural here in the city. But the farmers can appreciate this, and they realize how dependent they are. Just recently, I went picking apples, and down in my place in Llanherne, where we've had an apple orchard, and I was amazed. The first time I've come there, and I went to apple trees in the past that have borne fruit, and they had no fruit on it at all. Such as the natural thing that happens once in a while, of course, on some trees they don't bear fruit on certain years. And I was very surprised, so I could understand how the Lord going to the fig tree would be a little disturbed at it not bearing fruit. So in order to bear fruit, we have these beautiful Ember Days. And now I'm going to read to you from Dom Prosper Garanger. I hope nobody's in a hurry because it's a little long, but I think it's worth it. We have this wonderful time, my friends, to learn about our faith and listen to the great Prosper Garanger on the Ember Days that we have. Ember Week. I can find my place here. I thought I marked it, but I guess I don't. Dom Prosper Garanger on the Ember Days. The intention which the Church has in the fast of the Ember Days are the same as those of the synagogue, as we read in today's readings, namely to consecrate to God by penance the four seasons of the year. The Ember Days of Advent are known as in ecclesiastical antiquity as the fast of the 10th month, and St. Leo in one of his sermons on this fast, of which the Church has inserted a passage in the second nocturne of this Advent tells us that a special fast was fixed at this time of the year because the fruits of the earth had then all been gathered, and in that it was behoved the Christians to testify their gratitude to God by sacrifice of abstinence, thus rendering themselves more worthy to approach God the more they were detached from the love of created things. For fasting, adds the holy doctor, has ever been the nourishment of virtue. Abstinence is the source of chaste thoughts, of wise resolutions, and salutary counsel. By voluntary mortifications, the flesh dies to its concupiscences, and the spirit is renewed in virtue. But since fasting alone is not sufficient whereby to secure the soul's salvation, let us add to it works of mercy towards the poor. Let us make that which we retrench from indulgence serve unto the exercise of virtue. Let the abstinence of him that fasts become the meal of the poor man. Let us, the children of God, practice what is in our power of these admonitions. And since the actual discipline of Advent is so very mild, let us so much the more fervent in fulfilling the precept of the fast of Ember Days. The fast, quoting, I skipped a few parts, the fast of the Ember Days has another object besides that of consecrating the four seasons of the year to God by an act of penance. It has also in view the ordination of the ministers of the church, which takes place on the Saturday of which notice was formally given to the people during the Mass. In the Roman Church, the ordination held in the month of December was for a long time the most solemn of all, and would appear on the ancient chronicles of the Pope that, excepting very extraordinary cases, the 10th month was, for several ages, the only time for conferring holy orders. Now that's by way of making a comment. It's interesting here that we have that, and we're praying now, especially during this time, for our priesthood, the holy priesthood, which of course the priests were ordained at this time, and we pray for them that they would become holy as their office shows us. Continuing Don Prosper Gonanger. Beginning of winter, spring, and summer quarters was sanctified by abstinence and fasting, and each of them in turn has received heaven's blessing. And now autumn is harvesting the fruits which divine mercy appeased by the satisfaction made by sinful man has vouchsafed to bring forth from the bosom of the earth, notwithstanding the curse that still hangs over her. Right? As we know from Genesis, Adam was cursed that the earth would not bring forth the fruit that it had in the Garden of Eden. Right? The precious seed of wheat on which man's life mainly depends was confided to the soil in the season of the early frost, and with the first fine days peeped above the ground, and at the approach of glorious Easter, it carpeted our fields with its velvet of green, making them ready to share in the universal joy of Jesus' resurrection. Then turning into a lovely image of what our souls ought to be in the season of Pentecost, its stem grew up under the action of the hot sun, and the golden ear promised a hundredfold to its master, the harvest made, the reapers glad. And now September has come. It calls on man to fix his heart on that good God who gave him all this store. Let him not think of saying, as that rich man in the gospel did, after a plentiful harvest of fruits, "My soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy rest, eat, drink, and make good cheer." And God said to him, "Thou fool, this night do they require thy soul of thee, And who shall these things be by which thou hast provided? If we would be truly rich before God, if we would draw down his blessings on the preservation as well as the production of the fruits of the earth, let us at the beginning of this last quarter of the year have recourse to those penitential exercises whose beneficial effects we have always experienced in the past. The church gives us the commandment to do so by obliging us under the penalty of grievous sin to abstain and fast on these 3 days, unless we be lawfully dispensed. We have already spoken of the necessity of private penance for the Christian who is at all desirous to make progress in the path of salvation. But in this, as in all spiritual exercises, a private work of devotion has neither the merit nor the efficacy of one that is done in company with the church and in communion with her public act. For the church, as bride of Christ, communicates an exceptional worth and power to works of penance done in her name in the unity of the social body. Pope St. Leo the Great is very strong on this fundamental principle of Christian virtue. We find him insisting on it in the sermons he preached to the faithful of Rome on occasion of this fast, which was then called the fast of the seventh month. Although he says it be lawful to each one to chastise his body by self-imposed punishments and restrain with more or less severity the concupiscence of the flesh which war against the spirit, yet need is that on certain days a general fast be celebrated by all. So we can see the efficacy of private fasting, but compared to the fast of the church, which are these ember days, they are not as good. Would be to God the words of such a pope as Leo the Great could make themselves heard by our present generation and induce us Christians to mistrust the individualistic tendencies of modern piety. For fortunately, the words of the saint exist in all their pontifical eloquence. We invite our readers to peruse his sermons. We have only space for a short selection from his third sermon on the fast of the seventh month, our September Ember Days. Quote Pope Leo, God has sanctioned this privilege that what is celebrated in virtue of a public law is more sacred than that which depends on private regulation. The exercise of self-restraint which an individual Christian practices by his own will is for the advantage of that single member. But a fast undertaken by the church at large includes everyone in the general purification. God's people never is so powerful as when the hearts of all the faithful join together in the unity of holy obedience, and when in the Christian camp, one and the same preparation is made by all, and one and the same bullock protects all. See, most dearly beloved, here is the solemn fast of the seventh month, urging us to profit by this invincible unity. Let us raise up our hearts, withdraw from worldly occupations, and steal some time for furthering our eternal welfare. The plenary remission of sin is obtained when the whole church unites in the like prayer and the like confession. For if the Lord promises that when two or three shall with a holy and pious unanimity agree to ask him anything whatsoever, it shall be granted to them. What can be refused to many thousands who are all engaged in observing one and the same practice of religion and in praying with one and the same spirit? In the eyes of God, my dearly beloved, it is a great precious sight when all the church's people are earnest at the same offices, and when without any distinction men and women of every grade and order are all working together with one heart to depart from evil and to do good. That is the one determination of them all. They all give glory to God for the works he achieves in his servants. They all unite in returning hearty thanks to the loving giver of all blessings. The hungry are fed, the naked are clad, the sick are visited, and no one seeketh his own profit, but that of others. By the grace of God who worketh all in all, the fruit is common, and the merit is common. For the affection of all may be the same, although all are not equally rich, and those who have less to bestow can rejoice in the liberality of others. There is nothing inordinate in such a people as that. There are no variances, for all the members of the whole body are alike in the energy of the same piety. The beauty of the whole becomes the excellence of each member. Let us then embrace this blessed solidity of holy unity with the same resolution and the same goodwill. Let us enter unto this solemn fast. End quote, Pope Leo the Great. Now, my dear friends, the thought is popping into my head, isn't this what some of the bishops and cardinals are now calling for? A synod on the abuses in the church, so that the church can come with a plan of prayer and sacrifice to appease the anger of God because of the various sins that cry to heaven for vengeance. Right? This is very important that we realize the corporate nature of prayer of the church, everybody coming together and praying. And that's why a synod would be recommending prayer to the Holy Father, and he, in his office as Pope, to declare a time of prayer for all the sins of our world that are happening now, especially in the clergy. This is what we need, and this is what appeases God, like the Ember Days. I just mentioned that's myself, my own